Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
So today, I got my little props here with me, my two little dog buddies. You guys remember these? Little magnets? Of course, it's probably hard for you to see back there, huh? So these little magnet dogs, and anyway, I'll show you what I use them for later, but anyway. Again, Pastor Cynthia sends her greetings and just lets you know how much she wishes she could be here this morning and be here with everybody. But she's spying on us through the security cameras, so we still have to behave, at least in appearance sake. You know, she can't hear anything, so. So today, I'm going to be using a translation of the Bible that's probably not very familiar with some of you. And how many of you love acronyms? So this one is CEVDCI. Translation. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. I came across this kind of by accident a couple months ago, and I was just, you know, I guess just wasting some time, but spending it just looking at different translations of Scripture, and I came across this, and it was so simple. It spoke so simply and just seemed like such a modern language that, so I just started reading it, and so I've just been reading it the last couple of months. So I'm going to use it just because of it's the CEVDCI. It's a Contemporary English Version Interconfessional Edition. That's what all that stands for. Somehow I'm not really sure, but I've been enjoying reading it and using it for my devotions, etc. So. It's interesting because when you do something like this, I remember back in the day, I would always struggle with coming up with a sermon title. And I would just felt like I wasted so much time and energy on trying to figure out, what do I call this? But as I was reflecting back, I was thinking back as some of, all of a sudden, just some old titles came to my mind of some of my sermons. But the one that really just kind of seemed to pop to the top was a sermon that I preached probably 30 years ago, and it was called "Repent, You Boogers," and actually became one of my more favorite messages to share in church because it seemed like everybody would listen to something like that, you know, and so. But in seriousness, I want to share some thoughts with you this morning. We're coming at the end of a year and preparing for the beginning of a new year, and it's really kind of an exciting time for us to be alive during this, and to be alive in Christ, and to be a part of the body of Christ. And I loved what happened this morning with the youth and the kids, you know, taking up their place. It was amazing. So we had some of our oldest members stepping in and taking their place in using their gifts and talents to share with the body, and we had some of our young youth doing the exact same thing, stepping up and sharing their gifts and talents with the body. And so it's just, I love that. I love seeing that. I love being able to experience that and see something like that. So with that, let's just take a minute and pray, okay? I feel like I just kind of need to center a little bit here, So, gracious Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercies that are new every day. Thank you for your gifts, your talents, the place that you have for each and every one of us in your body. Thank you, glorious God, for coming and taking on the form of man and living amongst us and just leading us and guiding us and showing us the way to live our lives. We're so grateful for that. Thank you for your example for us. So, Father, as I prepare to share what's been put on my heart, I ask, Lord God, for just clear communication. And I ask for things that are of you, of your words, just to really to pierce the hearts of each and every here today. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to just to read your scripture and to listen and to share and to just be a part of a small part of your body here in Tipton, Iowa. And thank you, Lord. I mean, we're participating in something that thousands and thousands and millions of people are participating in at this very same time all across the world. And so, Lord, we just thank you that we can be a part of something like that for such a time as this. And, Lord, I pray that you give us all ears to hear, hearts to receive, whatever it is you would have to say to us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to share some thoughts. There's a power that has been given to us as a part of the body of Christ. And I can only imagine sometimes, you know, we take, if you've ever taken a long journey by yourself, I don't know, I mean, I take journeys into my office in the Quad Cities by myself. I take journeys sometimes to Detroit, sometimes to LA, sometimes, and I take the journey by myself, but usually it's when I get there that I'm able to connect and be with other people. But I have found that if I get to take that journey with someone, it just seems to make it go faster. It's more enjoyable. And sure, depending on who that individual is, it could cause or create other challenges, etc. But at least it's not boring, right? And I think about that in our journey here on this earth that we have and we get to take, and the journey that as Christians that we, you know, it's, I'm kind of one of those, I'm an introvert, okay? And so doing something like this, which I used to do a lot of, I don't do much anymore, but it seems like I'm being put in that role again. I get to go to Detroit. I'll be in Detroit next weekend to install one of our new Foursquare pastors into a church up there. The weekend after, I get to go to Ottumwa, Iowa, and do the same thing, install one of our pastors over there. And so, you know, some, for whatever reason, there's always seasons, right? And seasons that we do things. And so that as an introvert, I don't mind quiet. Quiet does not bother me. If I'm in a group of with a group of people and things get quiet, the conversation gets quiet, that doesn't bother me. But I know people that it does, you know, and that's okay. But what I want to say, trying to say, is that as Christians, we don't really want to be trying to live our lives alone. It's that's not how it's made to be. That's not what God has for us. And because I don't really believe that if we live our lives alone, I don't believe we get to experience the power or the comfort of God that we would get to experience when we're doing it and living life with others, okay? So, you know, when we're alone, it takes a lot of self-effort, takes a lot of hard, the work is harder, and it can be really discouraging, I think, a lot. But when we're surrendered to God and in this way, the result becomes more of a feeling of less frustration, less a life of doom, less a life of failure, and more of a one of gratitude and gratefulness. Chapter 13 through chapter 17, those chapters, I mean, we're not going to read them right now, okay, but what's happening is there Jesus has spent a few years, you know, at least three years, with his disciples, talking to them about life, talking to them about God, talking to them about how to do life and what God has for them, and just, you know, sometimes, you know, slapping upside the back of the head and sometimes just really giving them a good encouraging word, you know. But it was all about discipleship. Anybody ever been discipled like that? No?
Maybe you need someone to come up and just give you a big old hug or a slap upside the back of the head. You know, it can do wonders. It really can. But he's repeatedly talking to them. You know, he comes into this season now where he starts talking to them about the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit will dwell in them. I mean, this is a totally new concept for people at that time. I mean, that's the only people that ever thought about that the Holy Spirit would come upon would be the kings or the priest, you know? And so here Jesus is saying, you know, that's not going to happen. It's not going to be that way anymore. It's changing. Now the Holy Spirit is not only going to come upon you, but he's going to be in you. Wow, what a concept. I mean, to us as Christians, that if we've been around for a while, that we really don't even think about that because it just seems ordinary, you know, just like eating tacos or something, you know? But it was a really, really out there concept of the Holy Spirit being in us. And I'm sure many of them thought, no way, no way, no way. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not righteous enough. I'm not anything enough to allow that to happen. But Jesus keeps on, you know, and he talks to them about how the Holy Spirit will be the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will be their helper. He will be the one to talk to them about him, about Jesus. He will be the one to make them even aware of sin. And you know what? We as we continually try to lead a life that we find ourselves living that, to try and be a follower, a disciple of Jesus, that's one of the good things that the Holy Spirit is there for. You know, so when we start getting off track, he's the one that says, let's go back this way. And we start getting off track again, he's like, no, he might give us that smack upside the back of the head and say, no, you got to get back on track this way. But he's the one that makes us aware of sin, and he's the one that guides us, right? He's the one, that's his main purpose here. But in John 15, Jesus explains something through a metaphor of the vine and the branches. And so this might be something that you've heard before, but I'm gonna read it to you. Stephanie, if you go ahead and put that screen, yeah, thank you. So this is that scripture translation I was telling you about, but so let's look at that. He says, you are already clean because of what I have said to you. So let's just stop right there. We're already clean because of what he has said. He's saying, you guys are already clean because of what I have said to you. So we gotta look at this closely. It's not just of what was said, but it was said and it was received. Okay? There was a dialogue, there was a conversation, and there was a transformation. Okay? They're clean because of what he said, because they received what he said. Okay? Same thing, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? But how are we going to live that out if we don't believe that? How are we going to live that out? How are we going to live out being made the righteousness of God? How are we going to live if, you know, that word righteousness talks about being, one of the simplest and easiest translations is being in right standing with God, right? The righteousness of God. Being able to live right now with the ability to live a life as if sin had never, ever happened in your life. Pretty powerful stuff. Can we receive that? Can we accept that, that that's what God wants for us? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's not enough for him to just say it. I have to believe it. I don't know about you, but some mornings I wake up, I don't feel righteous. I feel far from it, right? I don't know. I'm probably the only one that feels like that, but I'm telling on myself, I guess. That's how I feel. Sometimes I get angry at people. A lot of times I get angry at myself. I don't feel like I'm
walking in righteousness. I don't feel that way. But you know what? Faith isn't about the feeling. So I have to receive what he says by faith, believing that it is so and it is true. So be it unto me. Just like the Virgin Mary had to say when the angel came to her. So this is the way it's going to be. This is what's going to happen. And she had two choices. She could say yes or she could say no. So when the word of God was spoken to her, she said, okay, so be it unto me. And what a great example for us in our lives today, so that when the word of God is spoken to us and we hear the word of in the scriptures, we can say, so be it unto me. Okay. You know, sometimes receiving things like that, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you have the ability to live a life as if sin had never existed in your life. And sometimes it isn't that it's so hard to receive. We have to humble ourselves to receive it. So, let's go on with this scripture. So he says, you're already clean because of what I have said to you. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. Just as a branch cannot produce fruit unless it stays joined to the vine, you cannot produce fruit unless you stay joined to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I stay joined to you, then you will produce lots of fruit because you cannot do anything without me. Now that seems pretty straightforward, right? I don't know if you caught it, but there was a lot of stay joined in there. Kind of makes you feel like, I wonder if there's a little bit of emphasis in there. A lot of the other, translated form of that is to abide. But to abide just isn't the word I use these days, right? I'm going to go abide over here for a while. My wife and I are going to go abide, okay? What does that mean? Well, I can't tell you. I don't, because why? Because I don't know what that means, but that's what we're going to do. It's not that common of, we don't use it, I don't know. Am I alone in this too? No, I'm not alone in this, am I? No. It's just not a word we use, right? It's just not part of our everyday language. But I get what it says when he says, stay joined. Stay connected. Continue to be a part of each other. That's where my little doggies come in. These little doggies right here, I know some of you probably can't even see them. One's black, one's white. And I've had these since I was about 4 years old. So let's see, that would make me about 35 right now. I don't know. Yeah, dog. That's awesome. Good job. Who said that? Oh, thanks, Steve. Appreciate that, man. So in this illustration, let's just say I'm the black dog and Jesus is the white dog, okay? And they're really kind of fun to play with because you get them close to each other and boom, they just connect like that, right? And you can start dragging one around with the other. I don't know, I could play for hours with these things. But if you turn the black one around so it's facing away from the white one, guess what? Yeah, he will run away. And only until he turns around will he get reconnect. Only if I'm facing Jesus can I stay connected with him. As soon as I turn my back on him, guess what? He keeps coming, but I keep going. And not until I turn around. See? I can even be side by side. That's kind of fun, too. Anyway, we'll put those away. being a four-year-old,
People will often ask, because I bring them out all the time. No, I don't, but... so just so you know, one's name is Whitey and one's Blackie, okay? So, I mean, I was 4 years old. Come on, give me a break. So here we are. We're to stay joined, right? We're to stay joined to Jesus. And so it's an action word, right? It's something that we have to continue to do. It's not necessarily something that we just do once. But we have to remember, every day I get up, am I joined with Jesus? I have to stay joined with him. And so he calls this daily connection with him to stay joined. And for us, you know, as he refers to himself as the vine and we're the branches, and, you know, I don't have much biology sense, but I do know that the sap that runs through the trunk out to the branches is what gives the branches life, right? And you can take a branch from an orange tree, and you actually can graft it into an apple tree, and it still will grow oranges as long as it keeps getting life, okay? And so that's really the big part of the illustration here, is because we are all different. We have different gifts, different talents, different ways that God wants to use us. I mean, we even look different, right? I mean, of course, not everybody can be as good looking as me. Well, really, Rick, because nobody can be as good looking as Rick. But love you, man. But seriously, we're all different, and so, but yet we're grafted into this brand, to this life of Jesus, and as long as his life keeps flowing into us, we'll keep being able to produce the fruit that he wants us to produce, okay? Without that, we can't produce. Without us staying joined with Jesus, we cannot produce fruit. It's just not going to happen. So we call this staying joined, and it can happen because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, his life flowing through us as we stay joined to him, just like the sap in the vine flows through the branches. So the cool thing is, we are not left alone in this journey. Even though many, many times I have felt like I'm alone in this, I am never alone in this. As long as I allow myself to keep returning and keep facing and keep coming back to Jesus and staying joined with him, I'm never alone in this. I'm never alone in this because I'm not alone in it simply because I'm joined and connected with Jesus, right? But I'm also not alone in this because as I am joined and connected with Jesus, that means I'm also connected to the bigger, right, family, the whole stinking tree, the whole thing. All of a sudden, I've become a part of it. So as people come into our church and they become believers in Jesus, guess what? They become a part of not just being able to connect with Jesus and stay joined to him, but they become a part of us as well. So I sometimes wonder, you know, have you ever felt like, you ever experienced road rage? I never have. Well, okay, maybe I did once or twice. But it's funny sometimes how we can get upset about some of the simplest of things, and it's really not anything, it really has nothing to do about that other person and what they're doing or not doing. I mean, it's not like I'm the king of the road, right? It's not like this is my road and I don't know why you're driving on it and you need to get off of my road and because you're in my way. But it's not like that. It's not like that at all. So really, it's not about them and what they're doing or not doing that I think they should be or shouldn't be doing. It's really about what's going on in here with me, right? What is this thing? And so as I become more aware of what this thing is that's going on in me and become more curious about it to pursue it and to try and get into it a little bit deeper to find out what's going on there, I find out there's some adjustments I need to make. Maybe some things I need to repent of. Maybe some things I just need to get out in the open and talk to somebody about. But I do know that if I allow that thing to stay there, it begins to choke me off of life. It begins to choke the life out of me. Choking his life out of me. Choking the life from the sap from the vine as a branch. And what's that mean? It means that it begins to create a disconnect with the body of Christ as well. I love a scripture that says, as he is, so am I in this world. And as long as I stay joined with him, as he is, so am I in this world. And he's the body of Christ. And so if I stay connected and joined, I stay connected with the body of Christ. But once I begin to turn my back on Jesus, guess what? It's hard for me to not want to turn my back on the body of Christ. I deceive myself into thinking that I can do one and not the other. There's this amazing scripture when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says the greatest is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Loving my neighbor as I love myself. Crazy. Why would I want to love my neighbor that much? Because it's God's creation. And because he says this is the greatest thing we could do. I can't disconnect one from the other. I can't say I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, with all my strength, with everything that I am about. I love him with everything. And then get on the highway and tell somebody, you know, oh, they think I'm number one. Great, that's awesome. It doesn't work that way. Either we're joined or we're not joined. Either we're connecting or we're not connecting. Either the power of the Holy Spirit's working in us or it's not working in us. It's flowing through us or it's not flowing through us. So the Holy Spirit works this work and it begins to change character. And what happens is out of that, it's this external fruit that keeps coming because I'm connected to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit is working through me. And really, that's the greatest thing I can offer to him is my willingness, my obedience, my surrender, so that fruit can come forth because the fruit isn't for me, right? The fruit is for everybody around me. And as I become more, the more fruitful I become, the more other people can partake of, and the more they can partake of, they can continue to draw close to God. When I'm trying to produce fruit, all I do is get frustrated because I'm trying to do it in my own strength, right? And so trying to do stuff in my own strength, I've learned it's hard. It hurts. I get injured. Super tired. A lot of frustration. I just put a couple of pages, four pages together because I thought, oh, we'll just keep this short. I just finished page one. What are you guys doing for lunch? You want to fast today? No, I'm just kidding. Tell all those kids back there, they're fasting right now. So let me just skip to the end here, okay? One of the greatest tools that God has given each and every one of us is our tongue, our mouth. The ability to speak, communicate. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. We can speak life or we can speak death. That's powerful. That is tremendous power. Stronger than a bulldozer, stronger than a tank, stronger than anything else you could think of here on this earth. Our tongue, our mouth, the things that we say and speak. Jesus was careful because he says, you're already clean because of what I have said to you. And so we have to challenge ourselves. Here's the challenge, okay? You ready for this? I can see all the joy that's on your faces. It's amazing. So here's the challenge. Will others be cleansed because of what I say? Or not? Man, isn't that a sombering challenge? But such a powerful challenge. I can speak life into any situation regardless of whether I like it or not. Or I can speak death into any situation because I think I'm justified. Powerful stuff. But listen, we are meant to be the disciple of Jesus. He told those guys, he said, listen, go and make people my disciples. Why? By sharing with them everything I have said to you. So we have this great opportunity to take these words from the scriptures and share them with people. And speak life into people. Life isn't always great, right? Life isn't always fun and wonderful, or, you know, there's always lots of contradictions and things that create frustration and things that just don't go our way. But I think if we would really just take a stop for a minute and just get centered on Jesus for that moment and just say, okay, God, what is going on here? We would find that it's really not about that situation or circumstance. It's about what's going on in here. And that's really what he wants to get to. He wants to continue to speak his word into my life and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to do what he started from the beginning. He sent his word to heal me and to deliver me. Right? His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is what I need to be working in me. And as I allow that to work in me and to flow through me and I begin to speak it around, guess what? I begin to experience a lot of fruit. I wonder if we could get addicted to that fruit. What do you guys think? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm asking, what do you think? Theological question, maybe. I don't know. Is it possible for us to begin put so much fruit out there, to become so a branch that's so heavy with fruit, we just become addicted to putting out more fruit. Oh, I just want to do more. I just want to put out more fruit. How can I get more fruit out there? I don't know. What do you guys think? Is that possible? I don't know. What do you think if this year we try to see if that's possible? We got a new year, right? I love new years because we get fresh starts. We get to come up with all these things. And I don't know about you, but I guess I'm at that age now where I don't really create too many goals for myself because I just get too frustrated because I don't meet them, you know? And I find myself going in a whole nother direction or something. So I've become more centered in my goal setting, and that is to, I just want to be more like Jesus. I just want the Holy Spirit to have a bigger part of my life. I want to be more consistent. I want to be consistent in just stopping and saying, Jesus, what's going on here? What do I do? How do I respond to this? I want to have consistency with him leading me and guiding me in life. I want to be able to recognize something going on and being able to stop and pray for that. I want to have that awareness, you know, of his presence in every situation and circumstance, so I can see what is it that you're wanting to do here, Lord? So I can surrender my will to that, to his will. Crazy stuff. I sure don't want to turn my back on Jesus. Even though I know he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But I can sure make it hard for him to work in me. Right? So the Holy Spirit's here to give us power. And that power is for us to be the one, to be that witness for him, right? He gives us that power, that strength, that ability, that awareness to be a witness. A witness is someone that testifies, right? Testifies of what they've seen, testifies of what they've heard. That's all we have to do, is just be a witness. Testify of what we've seen, testify of what we heard. In other words, just keep sharing what God's speaking to us and doing with us, we keep sharing with other people. But only if we can stay joined with him. So the challenge for us is, well, let's simplify the challenge. Maybe think of one person that perhaps you will begin to speak differently toward. Just begin to think of one person that you know the way you've been talking to them hasn't been good. It hasn't been life-giving. It hasn't been encouraging. It hasn't been filled with truth and kindness. Just think of one person. And if you're willing, make a commitment to become more aware of your conversation with that one person. Maybe it isn't that you've been speaking evil about them. Maybe it's not that you've been speaking poorly of them. Maybe it's just that you haven't been sharing life with them. Maybe it's just you haven't been speaking life to them. Think about the opportunity that we have with our tongue, with our words. Speak life, speak death. Maybe it's just that you haven't been saying anything at all. But maybe it's time to speak some life. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us. I ask, Father, that you help us all. You put someone in our hearts, someone in our, bring them to our awareness, someone that you want us to speak life to. Someone that we can be as your disciple and cause them to become clean through the words that we speak to them. What does that mean? To become your child, to become born again, to become a believer in Jesus, to allow your righteousness to flow into their life, to allow a change that would come to them that would be so amazing, just like the change that you allowed to come into each and every one of our lives. Bring someone to our mind, Father. So as we're praying here, I just want to be sure. If you're here right now, you're in this room, and you've been hesitant been hesitant to make that commitment to become a follower of Jesus, to be his disciple, I want to pray for you. I want to help you, invite you in to let you know the door is open and there's open arms on the other side of that. So let's just, as we stay in an attitude or moment of prayer, if that fits you, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Maybe I tried one time before and it just didn't seem to work out, or I just really haven't gone there in my life yet. Would you pray for me that I do that? If you just would raise a hand up, and so I'll just, so I can pray for you. Okay. So, Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for your cleansing power. Thank you for the new birth that we can experience. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And thank you, Lord, for opening the eyes of our understanding that we may know the hope of your calling for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for making us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that you have made us to be your righteousness in Christ Jesus, that we are in right standing with you, that we do have the ability to live each and every day as if sin has never existed in our life, because that's how you see us and that's what you've called us to. So we just purpose in our hearts to receive that right here, right now, this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you all. Thanks for the opportunity to share this morning. And Cynthia will be back next week. So, peace out. Behave yourselves.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.